Friday, August 15th, 2025, and you're listening to Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Today on the program, we continue our journey through the book of Romans. We're in chapter 6 with verses 12 through 23, with part 1 of a message titled, Gospel Freedom.
First Adam's actions were the actions of all the people in original sin, the guilt and corruption and the imputation of sin and all those problems of death. You were brought out of that and you were put into the last Adam, his free gift, his righteous act of laying down his life, being united to him. We are then also, that means, by faith, no longer under law, but under grace.
And now, here's Pastor Chris.
I'm going to invite you now to turn as we continue our study in the book of Romans. We are in Romans chapter 6 tonight, and we are in verses 15. Actually, I'm sorry. We are in verses 12 through 23. We're taking a little bit larger of a section tonight. 12 through 23 of Romans chapter 6. Let's give our attention tonight to the word of the Lord. This is beginning at verse 12. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body to make you obey its passions. Do not present your members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who've been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments for righteousness. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under law, but under grace. What then? Are we to sin because we are not under law, but under grace? By no means. Do you not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one you obey, either of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness? But thanks be to God that you, who were once slaves of sin, have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed, and have, having been set free from sin, have become slaves of righteousness. I'm speaking in human terms because of your natural limitations. But just as you once presented your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness, leading to sanctification. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. But what fruit were you getting at that time from the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the fruit you get leads to sanctification and its end, eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. And we'll stop the reading of God's word there. Well, the Apostle Paul knew that the relationship of the Christian to ongoing sin in life, the struggle with sin, that it would be continually confusing for Christians at times, perplexing to understand this relationship of the Christian and sin, if he's been delivered. You know this. I raised it last time. You go through many different scriptures that sort of address this, maybe that verses that just at first glance are a little bit confusing for us. You take something like 1 John 3, everyone who makes a practice of sinning also practices lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. You know that he appeared in order to take away sins, and in him there is no sin. No one who abides in him keeps on sinning. No one who keeps on sinning has either seen him or known him. You see, we might stop and say, well, that's hard because I sin still. I sin still. What does that mean? Might even take Jesus in John 8. Most assuredly, I say to you, whoever commits sin, and this is just what Paul's explaining tonight, is a slave of sin. Well, does anyone here want to deny that they have committed sin this week? Everyone here has committed sin. So you have these strong statements. What do they mean? It's a really simple principle that the scriptures are giving. We don't, as believers, say, we don't run around saying that since Jesus died for us, we can go on and live against God's law and live immorally and do whatever we want to do. That's the mentality that is behind that 1 John statement. Because Jesus died, that means then that we can go out and live in sin, rejecting him, being disobedient to him, because we live under grace. Well, this is what the New Testament authors are addressing. It's a continual, habitual, unrepentant, looked at this morning somewhat, unrepentant sin. Living in that is what those scriptures are talking about. Okay, we get that basic point, I hope. If somebody comes in and says, I'm continuing in sin, I'm going to pick your sin, pick your commandment. I'm going to live in that, and I can do whatever I want to do. The scriptures are clear. You're a liar. That's 1 John. That person is lying. Okay? But that doesn't quite help where we are tonight. Because you're sincere. The confusion for us is we still sin and don't feel very victorious at all. And at times you read the scriptures and they seem so much more victorious than the actual experience of something, the actual experience of your life. We, in fact, truth be told, we still sin regularly and with great frequency. If at all you're aware of it, you could still be sinning and not even see it. And that happens. And that's confusing. That's troubling. Our approach is to say, and this is how it's kind of gone in the church, to sort of stir up Christians. Well, one approach is to say, well, that must mean you're not truly a Christian. Let me ask, do you care about sin? Do you care when you sin? Does it bother you? Are you burdened about it? The approach is not to say at this point, for people who are sensitive to sin, when you struggle against sin, the approach of the scriptures is not to come along and say, well, maybe you're not a Christian. Notice how that's not how Paul at all has dealt with this issue. Paul's looking at these Roman Christians, and he believes they're true Christians. And I could say that tonight in this congregation. I look at this congregation. You're gathering to worship. You've come to worship the Lord. You love his word. You love his truth. I'm not looking at you and thinking, maybe not. Who am I? See, he wants to, and this is what we do all the time. I see it in evangelical leaders. You see it in youth pastors. You see it in pastors. Well, we got to get people back in line. We'll just make them feel that maybe they're not Christians. Well, this is the confusion. God in his providence has left us in this continued struggle against sin. And how Paul helps the Roman church on this point is so instructive for us. That's why Romans is so helpful. What he's been saying to us in this book, how he has been helping us in this book, is to say there is a crucial difference between how the believer responds to ongoing sin and how the unbeliever responds to sin. Do they even care? What Romans 6 has been all about is fascinating on this point. Paul has been rooting our sanctification, if you will. We've moved and starting to think about the continued struggle in sin. But really what he's first done is help the Christian think with regard to sin. Of everything that Christ has done, objectively, but he's putting it in the category of union with Jesus Christ. It's such a crucial doctrine of the Christian faith. You have been joined to him. You've been united to him by faith. You've been raised with him in the heavenly places. That was addressed this morning in the Sunday school class. You are seated with him in the heavenly places. You may not feel like it, but that's the truth nonetheless, isn't it? In principle. Paul is not running around to Christians and saying, now, since Jesus died, stop sinning or else. Well, that's not really how he's doing it, is he? He's really not using the threat of judgment to turn our hearts to him, is he? Take this morning. Oh, the message of judgment was surely given by Jesus on those cities. But those, they hadn't even come to him. They hadn't even repented and believed. They hadn't even been converted, the people he was talking to. Come. Paul wants the Christians to understand and become motivated to this life in an entirely different manner. And that's why Romans 6 is so helpful. We don't continue in sin. Remember what he said. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Heaven forbid. How can we who have died to sin live any longer therein? And we spent time on that. That's Romans 6. He's looking at union, and those are all aorist tenses. And what he was saying was, when Jesus died, you died. I want you to think this way. When he was buried, you were buried. When he rose, this was an action for Jesus on behalf of his people. Just as in the first Adam, Adam's sin was the sin of all the people, the righteous act of Jesus Christ in laying down his life, in dying, in being buried, in being risen, is the righteous act for you, so that you can see yourself being united to him by faith in those actions. That's what happened to you. That's how he wants us to think. That's what we've been looking at by virtue of union. You were buried. You were raised. The old Adam was crucified in order that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be enslaved to sin. You'll notice that. So for the first time in verse 11, where we ended off last time, he told us to do something in the book. There really isn't a lot of imperative so far in this book. And in the first thing he's told us to do in this book is this. Since, notice verse 11 of chapter 6, so you also, you, responsibility now, must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. I just want you to think this way. First way we're going to deal with sin is to change your thinking on the matter. You need to first think of yourself, since you've been brought into Christ, into the new and last Adam, that you reckon to yourselves that you are dead to sin and alive now with Christ. Union is where it begins with Christ in helping us on this issue. I'm out of the old Adam. I'm brought into the last Adam objectively. My status has changed. I am set free in him. I am forgiven in him. I have, notice Romans 5:1, having been justified by faith, you have peace with God. This is done. And so now he continues to help us. That's what we've looked at so far. He continues to help us building on this idea of union, this concept of union and being brought into Jesus Christ. Therefore, if anyone is, you know, is a new creature, he's been brought into Jesus Christ. The old is past, the new has come. So what Romans 6 is doing is describing two principles now at work for you to understand this. It's really important. I feel like I took too large of a section. Maybe we'll come back to it. If you come up to me and say, I didn't cover it very well, then I'll come back to it, okay? But verse 14 is crucial for understanding the Christian life. Verse 14 is crucial. For, now notice this, sin will have no dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. What a verse. Memorize it. It's crucial to the whole Christian life. There are two principles throughout Scripture. People are either under law or under grace? That's a crucial principle. The law, John said, came through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. So notice what he just did. If you see what he's done and you see what he's been building on, since you've been united into the last Adam, you were taken out of the old Adam. The first Adam's actions were the actions of all the people in original sin, the guilt and corruption and the imputation of sin and all those problems of death. You were brought out of that and you were put into the last Adam, his free gift, his righteous act of laying down his life, being united to him. We are then also, that means, by faith, no longer under law, but under grace. What does that mean, to be under law? Well, when Sinai happened, you've heard me rehearse how scary an event that was. If you just go back and read it, the author of Hebrews chapter 12 picks up the same thing, and he says even Moses was deathly afraid. He wouldn't even want God to speak, remember? They were so afraid, the people. Israel, in a formal act, was put under the law. And Paul takes that in Romans 2. Do you remember what he said about that? When we studied Israel under the law, Romans said that studying Israel was a tutor, was a teacher, to show the whole world, to stop the mouth of the whole world in its righteousness before God. Okay. Paul in Romans 4 had said the law brings wrath. So he's made this distinction between the old life in the old Adam and the new life in the last Adam by union. And at the end of chapter 5, he said the law entered that the offense might abound. So in other words, he'll build on this principle in Romans 7 that the law was given, and what it actually did, as you guys all know what the law does, is it arouses sin. From somebody who doesn't have life. It's like the baby who will take the chocolate cake every time instead of the Brussels sprouts. I mean, this is what the law does. Don't do it. I want it. That's the problem of the sinful nature. The law entered that the offense might abound. What was the purpose of the law? The purpose of the law was to teach everyone of their terrible predicament before God. To be under the law meant, now listen, this is the crucial point. To be under the law meant that you have a solemn obligation to keep all the commandments perfectly. When people are under the law, there was always the threat. Do this and live. God was never saying, hey guys, just, you know, do your best. It'll be okay. The message of Galatians was clear. Cursed is everyone who does not continue to do all things written in the book of the law to do them. God had a standard of perfection. And you see, that's important for tonight. Paul is explaining how to deal now for the Christian who's been put into Jesus Christ, brought into Jesus Christ, joined to him by faith. How to deal with ongoing sin. As those who are no longer under the law for condemnation, but under grace. Put it together so far. We have been united to Jesus by faith. We've been joined to him in the last Adam. We've been brought out of the first Adam. Sin and death has been dealt with in Christ. We are risen brand new creatures in him. We have life. The principle of life now reigns in us. Grace now reigns in our lives. We're under the reign of grace in our lives. The threat of judgment no longer looms over our heads. This is how he's motivating us. So this anticipates Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are what? In Jesus Christ. That's union. You've been put into him, so there can't be condemnation because you're under grace. You see? Now, this is how Paul is speaking to them as new creatures in how to deal with sin in their life. Here's the beauty tonight. Romans 6 speaks to the believer as being under grace. Do you know what that means? It's one concept that he's going to develop here that he's going to push us to over and over and say in so many different ways. It's one of the reasons I took the larger section, because I think he's trying to say it in so many ways because he knows it's hard for us to get, but he's saying the same thing. And that concept is this: freedom. Everyone wants it. Freedom. Since Jesus died for you, you die. So now he's describing the principle of grace reigning. So look at verse 14. What that means is sin shall no longer have dominion over you. I think he's really trying to encourage them right now to understand something. He's not saying, and this is, I think, how Christianity has been heard so much. This is what we do with our young people. Try really, really hard so that sin no longer masters you. And the young person sits there and says, well, I give up on that. I can't do this. And so that's why most of the talks end up just being moral, putting great pressure. He just said, now listen to what he said. Sin cannot master you anymore. That's a different thing to say. Now, I know experience at times can make us feel confused about this. There can be besetting sins. But you're here tonight. You care. The evidence is right in front of you. The evidence that the dominion of sin has been shattered in your life is all the time in front of you. The power of sin has been disarmed for believers through the cross. Think of Colossians. He disarmed principalities and powers. He made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them. In this, maybe this will help. Maybe this will help for a little bit. You are like a man now or a woman standing who just got out of prison. The bars, you know, when they let somebody out, you've seen this. The gates go closed and they're locked. You can't go back. In status.
That's all the time that we have for you today here on Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. We're glad that you joined us. We hope to see you again next time for part two of this message in the book of Romans. Until then, may the Lord bless you and keep you.